begin the current time, start the site of Daf Yud Beis. Begin on the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, three lines up at the bottom of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues these Dafim that talk about the narrative of the beginning of Sefer Shemais, talking about the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Now, however, one of the psukim that was expounded was the reward that the Mayaldis, the Jewish midwives that didn't kill the Jewish children, that they merited Batim, which one of the interpretations is the Bate Malchus, which came from Miriam, as the Gemara brought a pasuk in Divrei Yamim that showed that Batmas Azuva, which is a reference to Miriam, who was married to Kalev, and that then later on her name was called Ephrat, and as we see that David was Ben Ish Ephrati, so we see that David HaMelech came from Miriam, and that was her reward, again, for not killing, but rather actually keeping alive the Jewish children. Now, continuing on that theme, discussing Miriam in this segue, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Divrei Yamim that says, V'kalev ben Chetzrein, hayilid es Azuva Isha, gave birth to Azuva, his wife, ves Urias and Urias, ve'elavanan, these are her sons, Yasher v'sheviv v'ardun. First, the Gemara asks on this pasuk, ben Chetzrein, Kalev was the son of Chetzrein, but as we know in the Torah, it says ben Yefuna, who he was called ben Yefuna. So that the Gemara answers that truthfully he was ben Chetzrein. His father was Chetzrein. So why was it called Kalev ben Yefuna? It was called because of his actions, of his deeds. He was ben Sheponim atzes miraklim. He was a man that removed himself from the council of the other spies, where there were 12 spies. Yeshua and Kalev didn't sin with their sin. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but Vakati ben Kenazu. So fine, he wasn't ben Yefuna, that was just called because of his actions. But he wasn't ben Chetzrein, he was actually the son of Kenaz. The Chesuv says a pasuk in Shaftim. It says, Vayilkata Esnil ben Kenaz, that Esnil ben Kenaz captured the city, who was Achi Kalev, the brother of Kalev. So if they're brothers, it means they have the same father. So that means his father was Kenaz, not Chetzrein. So that the Gemara answers, Amar Rava, Chargai. It was his stepson, meaning the son of his wife, of the Kenaz Hava. So in other words, Kalev was Kenaz's stepson, really that Esnil was his maternal brother. They shared the same mother, but actually Kenaz was not his father, was his stepfather, and his father was Chetzrein, and he shared a brother that was the son of Kenaz, and Yefun again was only because he was Panem Atzaz Meraglim. Now the Gemara continues top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, that actually Dekanami Dechsev, actually a precise reading of a pasuk in Yeshua, indicates this idea that Kalev was not the son of Kenaz, but rather he was the stepson of Kenaz. Where the pasuk says over there, Kalev ben Yefuna HaKenizi. Now, the pasuk doesn't call him ben Kenaz, like it says by Esnil, rather HaKenizi, which means say that he was one of the members of the family of Kenaz, because he grew up in that house, which, Shema Minah, we can infer again that the idea was, yes, of course, because his mother married him, but that wasn't his father was Chetzrein. Now, going back to that pasuk, we said that Azuva, so the Zu Miriam, so that the Gemara says his wife, Kalev's wife, Azuva was Miriam, which is the brother of Moshe and Aaron. Now the Gemara asks, "V'lo mina kishma Azuva? Why was she called Azuva if she was Miriam?" Sha'akol Azuva mitchilas. That's because everyone had forsaken her in the beginning. In other words, when she was younger, she was ill, as the Gemara will soon expound the term Yerios, which she was pale like curtains. And also she was a chalah, she was, as another pasuk describes her, she was ill. So that's why she was called Azuva, because all the young men didn't want to marry her because she was sick. Now, that's why she's called Azuva. Now it says that Kalev was Hailid Azuva. He gave birth to her. And that the question is, but v'aloi mintsev ha'vinasevlo. What do you mean? He actually was married to her, as the Gemara brought a previous pasuk at the end of the previous staff, that it says v'tamas Azuva, that Azuba had died, v'ikachle, and then he took Ephrat, which again, we really said that's really the same person, it's just that she was ill, and that's why he had left her, she had tsaras, took her back. But one thing that we see is definitely when it says that she had died, and therefore he married another woman, whether it's her or a different woman, obviously that he was married to her. So how could he say that he gave birth to her? So that Amar Yechanan, kol anoisi ish l'shem shemayim, whoever marries a woman for the sake of heaven, in such a case where she was sick, and still he married her for the sake of heaven because he checked out her brothers, Aaron and Moshe, he saw that they were pious people, and he realized that his sons are going to be similar to his wife's brothers, as the Gemara says himself above the Basra, and therefore when one is looking for a shidduch for a woman, you check out the brothers. So he did it for the sake of heaven, because obviously most of the men didn't want to marry a sick woman, but he did it for the sake of heaven. So that's why the pasuk considers it and describes it as if he gave birth to her. Now, it also says that she was, it says, Be'es Urias, that Kalev married Urias. So that the Gemara describes, it's not another woman, it's the same Miriam who was called Azuba. Shahayu Panel Daimon Li Urias, that her face was similar to curtains in the sense of lacking redness and complexion, where because of her illness she was very pale, so it was like a urea, and that's also because she was Azuba, no one wanted to marry her. Now then the pasuk says, Ve'elu Benel, and these were her sons. So that the Gemara expounds, Al Tukri Beneha, Elabaineha, don't read her sons, rather the one who built her. And again, as many times these psukim are expounded, that they're not different people or different descriptions of things. It's actually the same things that are mentioned in different ways. So here also it's all describing this context of Kalev marrying this sick woman, Miriam, and all the descriptions that go with it. So when it says it's not her sons, it's rather the one who built her, meaning they're all descriptions of her husband, who built her and made her a successful woman like all other women in marrying her and having children. So these are descriptions of him. When it says Yesher, was she Yishras Atzmai, that Kalev made himself straight from not straying after the counsel of the Meraglim. When it says Shevav Sheshiviv Es Yitzray, as Rashi brings the word Habas HaShoyveva, means it's the term of going out and rebelling. Here also he rebelled against his inclination, that actually, as another pasuk, is called Merid, because he rebelled against the counsel of the Meraglim, against his evil inclination. The Ardain is Sherodes Yitzray, because he went after his inclination, who was trying to entice him and to stray after the inclinations. He subdued his inclination. Begidami, actually, those that say the reason why it's called Ardain was Al Shahayu Paneho Daimon Leveret, which some Gersorias have it that it was his face, or that it was Miriam's face that was compared to a rose. And again, that's also the merit and the description of her husband, who, because he nursed her to health, made her face look like a rose, where originally she actually looked pale like a curtain. Now the Gemara continues, again continuing in this context with the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, that it says Ula Ashchor, for Ashchor, who is the Avi Tekua, the father of Tekua, Hayu Shtei Nashmi, had two wives, Chelov and Ara. So that the Gemara explains again, although it seems like a whole different story with different people and different players, it's the same story in different words, as the Gemara elsewhere expounds, that although it's written in this difficult way, we can interpret and know what it means. Ashur is a Kalev. Again, it's still another reference for Kalev, it's the same person. Why is it called Ashur? Shehushchu Panav Betanias, because his face became blackened with fasting. In other words, he accepted so many fasts because he wanted to spare himself from the bad group that he was in with the council of the Meraglim. Avi, when it says that he was the father, it means Shanasa Law Ka'av, that it became for his wife like a father. In other words, because he was so busy with all her doctors and health and that she needed because she was so sick, he became like a father to her. Tekoya, although it's usually read as a father of Tekoya, Tekoya is again the description of Kalev, Shatoka es libe la'av v'shabashamayim, because he stuck himself in his heart to his father in heaven. In other words, again, not to stray after that Tzas Meraglim. When it says Hayushtei Nashim, that he had two wives, actually he only had one wife, that was Miriam. But Nasa Miriam Kishtei Nashim, Miriam became like two different women. How so? As the pasuk says, Chela v'nara, loy chela v'nara havi. So the Gemara explains it wasn't that there was two wives, one chela, one nara. Ela b'tchila chela, originally she was ill, ula b'saif, nara. And at the end, after that he healed her from her illness, so she got back her complexion, she became like a young girl again. Now, a later pasuk then says, Uvenei Chela, that the sons of Chela, which again Rashi defines, it doesn't mean the sons, it's from again the word Ben has the same root as Binyan, as building, that is the building of Chela, who he built her and healed her from her illness. So that was praiseworthy to make her, the sick woman, into Tzeres. Again, it's usually translated as the children, but here's the descriptions of what her husband had built her, made her into. Tzeres v'tzayhar v'esna. So the Gemara explains, Tzeres, how did he build his wife? Shenaset tzar l'chabrei seha, that she became like something of a rival for all her friends because now they were jealous of her beauty. Here was that sick girl, and look what her husband did, made her into this beautiful woman. Tzaihar, shayi penel daimen katsarem, her face was like the afternoon, the midday sun. That's how beautiful she was and glowing. And Esnan, shekala roi oisa, because any man that saw Miriam, meilich Esnan le'ishtei, would bring in Esnan. Esnan is usually a term that's used with a prostitute that one gives to be able to engage in relations with her. So that's where it says, whoever saw her would give an Esnan to his own wife because he desired so much to have Mishkav Nashim, to have cohabitation, that he would give an Esnan to his wife. That's how beautiful Miriam became again because of her husband Kalev nursed her to her health. Now, resuming the discussion that we had in the previous staff, which we were discussing the narrative in the beginning of Sefer Shemais, so the Pasuk says that Vayitzav Parah L'chol Amo, that Parah commanded for all his people, which as the Pasuk there says in Shemais Perek Alf Pasuk HaBeis, Lamer saying, Kol HaBen HaYilod HaYor Teshlichu, any child that's born, you're gonna, any boy that's born, you're going to throw him into the river. Now, Amr B'Yisri Reb Chanina, it's Medayik on the words L'chol Amo, that Afal Amo Gaza, that even on his own people, even on the Egyptians, he decreed that they should be thrown into the river too. Whereas Rashi brings from the drasha of Reb Tanchuma that on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, so his astrologers, his stargazers said that today the savior of the Jewish people is born. Now, but we don't know if he's Egyptian or if he's Jewish. Now, that's obviously partly because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Jew, but he was being brought up by a non-Jewish mother, actually in the palace of Pharaoh himself. So what they did is they gathered all the people, and Pharaoh requested of them to be able to give those babies that are born today, even the Egyptians, and throw them into the river too. And therefore he decreed this, even as the Pasuk says, L'chol Amai. Now, V'amr Ribar B'chanina, he says, Shalish Gezeris Gazer. Actually, there were three different decrees, phases that Pari had made. B'tchila, originally, it says in the Pasuk, Im Benhu V'amit Noisai, that if he's a boy, then you kill him. That was said to the Jewish midwives, that he didn't make any watchmen, any guards, any enforcers, any policemen to do that. He just told this to the Jewish midwives. Now, as the Gir says, however, but then later on, when he saw that wasn't working, so Kala ben Ayila, then he said, any boy that's born, Hayar Tashlechu shall will be thrown into the river, in other words, that he appointed officers to enforce that. Now, Basayev, at the end, when he saw that still, there's obviously the Savior wasn't taken care of yet, Af Alama Gaza, that even on his own people he decreed it. Again, as we explained, because he heard that day is when the Jewish Savior, and we don't know if he's Jewish or not. Now, however, once that day passed, and still the stargazers didn't see that the Jewish Savior was killed, so they maintained that decree until the day, as we'll see later on, that Moshe Rabbeinu actually was put into the river, and then they saw that he was harmed, he was in this harmful situation as the water, so they thought that then it was over. But up until that, which is 3 months later, they continued this decree for all children, all boys, whether Jewish or Egyptian. Now, the next pasuk then says, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, that a man went from the house of Levi, and as the pasuk there concludes, Vayikach es bas Levi, and he took the daughter of Levi. So the Gemara asks, Lehechan Olach, where was he going? So Amar Yehuda bar Zvina explains what we're talking about over here. Shehalach ba'atzas bitoy, this is, as we'll see, was a reference to Amram, that went, that's what it says, that he went in the advice of his own daughter, which is Miriam. Tana, as we learn in the Braisa, Amram Gadol Hadar Hoya. Amram was the great tzaddik of their generation, and everyone listened to what he said. Now, Kivin Shirasha Amma Pari Harasha, once he saw that Pari, the wicked person, said, Kala ben hayilad hayor teshlichu, any boy that's being born will be thrown into the river. So Amma Allah Shavano Amelmi says, we're toiling in vain. Why are we going through the problem of fathering children to have them just thrown into the river? So Amad Begirish Azishta, he got up and he divorced his wife. So all the Jewish men also got up and divorced their wives. What's the point? So Amr Leibita, his daughter Miriam said to him, Abba, father, Kasha Gizirascha Yesim Mishal Parah, your decree is more severe than Parah's decree. Why? Shepara LeGazer El Al Hazachar, because Parah only decreed regarding the males. V'hat Gizarta Al Hazachar Mal Nekeves, and your decree is both on the males and the females, because now no one's giving birth, because no one's married, not to have boys or girls. Moreover, Parah's decree only applies to this world, meaning those that are born will die, but they will then live again in the world to come, in Olam Haba. But your decree is both for this world and the next world, because since the neshamas are not being born, they don't then merit to come to the world to come. It's only those that go through this world. Moreover, Pare HaRasha, Safik Miskayemes Gezeirasa, Safik Ein Miskayemes. The wicked Pare, maybe his decree will be fulfilled, and maybe not. But Ata Tzadik, but you're a righteous person, Bavadeshe Gezeirasa Miskayemes, for sure your decree will be fulfilled. Shemlek says, Apostle Ganiv. Says, Vesigzar Oimer, that you, the righteous, say a decree, Vyakamlach, and it stands. So Amad Vehechzer Seshtai. So he got up, he listened to his daughter, and he remarried his wife. So they all got up, all the Jewish men, and remarried their wives. Now, that the Gemara asks, when the Pasuk says that this man from the house of Levi, which was because he was from the tribe of Levi, that Vayikach he took, but the way we just described it, it's Vayachzer Meboile. Should have said that he returned her. Why does it say that he took as if it's the first time? So Amr Behuda Razvina is Sha'as, and the Gemara says, La Mais Lekuchen, because he made a whole ceremony as if it was the first time getting married. Where her Shiva Bapirin, he put her into the, in other words, it wasn't just retaking her back, it was actually a new marriage, that he put her into this Apirin, which is this glorified throne that they put the bride on. The Aaron and Miriam Merakim Lefanah, and her two sons, her son and daughter, Aaron and Miriam, were dancing in front of her. Umalach HaShavas Amr, and the ministering angels were saying, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Im Habonim Semecha, the mother of the children is rejoicing. Now, the Pasuk there says, as Bas Levi, that he went and he took the daughter of Levi. And that the Gemara asks, Efshir Bas Meye V'Shleishim Shana Habe. Is it possible that you have a woman that's 130 years old, which as Rashi explains, as specified later, that she was born when the Jewish people, when Yaakov and all the 70 people went down to Egypt. Now, the Jewish people were in Egypt for 210 years. And from when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, they didn't stay. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when they left Egypt. As the Pasuk says in Shemay Zayin, Moshe ben Shemayim Shon, he was 80 years old when they spoke to Pare. And it's that year that they left. So it comes out that when they had come to, from that when they had come down to Egypt until Moshe Rabbeinu was born, so that was 130 years. Because from when he was born until they left was 80. And they were only there for 210 years. Now, when Amram remarried Yecheved, she was already pregnant with Moshe, as the Gemara is going to explain soon. So she's 130 years old now, because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be born, 80 years, they're leaving, 210 years. For Karla Basnes, she's called the daughter of Levi, as if she's a little girl. To Amr B'chama B'chanina, that he says in Perek Yishnoichlin, Zu Yecheved, this is a reference to Yecheved. Now, the reason is because if one counts those who went down to Egypt, you find, although the Pasuk says there were 70 of them, that actually there were 69. So why does it say Abba Mitzrayim Shivim? So actually that comes to include Yecheved, who she concluded the counting of those coming into the city, because Shairasa Baderech, because she was already conceived on the road down to Egypt, but Veleidasa Be'enachayim, as her birth, was actually only when they were between the walls of entering into Egypt. Shnema, like it says, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, Asher Yolda Oysa LeLevi B'Mitzrayim, that Yecheved was the one that was born to Levi in Egypt, which tells you Leidasa B'Mitzrayim, her birth was in Egypt, Ve'in HaRasa B'Mitzrayim, but her conception was not in Mitzrayim. So we see that that's Yecheved who was born then, and therefore if she's giving birth to Moshe Rabbeinu 80 years before they're leaving Egypt, which means say that's at, she's 130 years old. So how could a 130-year-old woman be called Bas Levi, as if she's not old enough to be called after her name? So that Rabbi Yehuda explains the reason why that she was called as Bas Levi was Shanol de Basimani Naris, because now at this point, when Amram went and remarried her, she had this return of her signs of youth, which is the Oyrich Kanoshim, her menses, of the menstruation cycle, of her beauty, of the form of her face, her wrinkles smoothed out, and that's why it says as Bas Levi, she was back to like a young girl again. Now the next pasuk says, "Vatari Isha Vatelet Bein," that the woman conceived and she gave birth to a son, which was Moshe Rabbeinu. Now that the question is, but Vahavas Ma'abar Beit Losa Yarche Meikar, as the Gemara will soon illustrate, that she was actually pregnant with Moshe Rabbeinu 3 months before he remarried her. They didn't know. She was already pregnant, but he didn't know, and he was like, "Okay, let's just with no point in staying married because the children are being thrown into the water." His daughter then convinced him to remarry her. So if she's already pregnant 3 months before, why does it say that after he took her back that she conceived and gave birth to the son. So Amar Bihud Bar Zvina says, you're right, the whole point of why he writes over here, the idea of conception next to this idea of giving birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, which that was after he remarried her, was to make the following hekesh. Makesh Leidasa Lahirasa, it wants to compare the giving birth of Moshe Rabbeinu to the conception, which is Mahai Rasa Shlei Betzar, just like conception is not in pain, Afli Dasa Shlei Betzar, so to the birth of Moshe was without the childbirth pains. And that the Gemara says, Mekan L'Noshem Tzitkanis, that comes to tell you that righteous women, Shlohoyu Bepiska Shalchava, that they weren't in the decree, in the document decreeing the curse of, as the Pasuk says by Chava, of Be'etzvoin, and there's going to be pain in the pregnancy and the labor that the righteous women don't have. And that's why it says the idea of conception, to say just like conception there's no pain, so too on the way out, in birth, there's also no pain. Now the Pasuk says over there, Tera Oisa Ki Toivu, that she saw, the mother saw about her son, which was Moshe Rabbeinu, that because he's good. So Tanya Linda Brisa, what does it mean that Ki Toivu? So Rameir, he says, Toiv Shema, his name was good. That was his name, Toiv. Behuda Aymer says, Tov Yishma, his name was the good one of God. And Mechami Aymer says, the reason why it says that she saw that he was good is meaning Hogun L'Navias. She saw that he's appropriate for prophecy. She saw with her own divine spirit that one day he's going to be a prophet. Achim Aymer, others say, the reason why it said that she saw that he was good was because Neilat Kushumal, he was born circumcised. Achim Aymer, the sages say, is because Beshosh Neilat Moshe, at the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Nismale habayis kuli ar, the whole house filled up with light, because ksiv hachavatir oitzi kitayvu. Here the pasuk says that she saw that he was good. Ksiv hasaman says the pasuk in Bereishis v'yara lekim asar kitayv, that God saw that the light that it was good. So we see that tayv is a reference to light, and therefore it means that over here that the whole house filled up with light when he was born. Now the pasuk says over there, but titzpenei shleishi rachem, that she concealed him, she hid Moshe Rabbeinu for 3 months. And that is, for 3 months she was able to hide him because the Egyptians weren't searching after her, only at the end of 9 months. Now the reason being is because Dilemonu Mitzrim El Meshoda Hadra. The Egyptians kept count. They knew that they have to kill all Jewish boys that are born. So they kept track of which Jewish women are pregnant. Now they only counted for Yecheved from when Amram remarried her. Now, the thing is, and this is what we mentioned this idea before, v'hi havas ma'abra beitlos yachem ikar. She actually was already pregnant 3 months before he remarried her, and therefore for 3 months she had that opening where they weren't coming after her. So she hid him for 3 months. Now, the next pasuk says, but v'lo yachlo oid hatzvina. Now the 3 months were up, she couldn't hide him anymore. And on that the Gemara asks, amai, why is it that she couldn't hide him anymore? That, but once he's already in concealment, as the pasuk says of a titzpenehu, that she had hit him, so what was she concerned about? Titzpenehu b'teza, let her keep hiding him. So that the Gemara says, no, ela kol heicha d'havei shami mitzroi d'mesial d'yinuka. The idea was that whenever the Egyptians heard that a Jewish baby was born, mamtu yinuka hasam, so they would bring an Egyptian baby over there, ki heicha d'lashmi'inu u'ma'avi, or, and some have the gizah b'hadayu, so that the other child, the Egyptian child, they bring it there and have that baby cry. Now, the idea is that a baby, usually when it hears another baby cry, also starts crying, and therefore, then they would know how to find the Jewish child. And this idea is illustrated in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that Hashem says to the Yamsuf, that Echazu lonu shualim shualim ketanim, grab for us these foxes and these small foxes and begayim, etc., where the pasuk says that were machablim karamim, that destroyed the vineyards, uchrumenus mother, and our vineyard was with these unripe grapes. Which the idea is that they destroyed the karam, which is a reference to the Jewish people in Egypt when they were smother, meaning when the grapes were small, meaning they would find ways to destroy the little babies by bringing the Egyptian babies, having them cry, and finding the Jewish babies. So that's why she couldn't hide them anymore. So therefore, as the pasuk says, "V'tikach le'tevis goyma," that she took for herself a wicker box, and she went and put that into the water. Now the Gemara says, "Ma'ishna goyma," why specifically a wicker box? So Amr Belazi says, "Mikan litzadikim." This tells you regarding the righteous people, "Shememaynim chav alehen yesim agufan," that their money is more dear to them than their body. In other words, that she went and took this goyma this wicker basket, which is very cheap. Now, although maybe his body, Moshe Hartzon's body, would have been more secure in the box made out of wood, which is harder and stronger, but they went and took something cheaper. Now, on that, the Gemara says, "Vakakach lama." Now, why is that? Why do they have more? Are they more? It's delicate regarding their money than their bodies. Because they don't stretch out their hands in theft. And if one appreciated what money is, then it would be worth it, the sacrifice regarding a physical in regards to the monetary. Another interpretation, Shmuel ben Nachmani says, no, the reason is because davarach. She specifically wanted to put him into something soft, which actually would safeguard him, actually the best from any type of basket. Because that's something that could withstand both soft and hard elements. Now the reason is because if she would use something hard, so then when the water would come and give a real strong wave or something hard, it would actually come and it would break that element. But something light just gets thrown backward and it doesn't crash, it doesn't break, it doesn't shatter, and that's why she preferred to use this wicker basket and not something harder like wood. Now it says over there in the pasuk, "V'tachmiru bechimru bazafes," that she smeared this basket, this wicker basket, with clay and with tar. So Talmud learned in the Braisa that the chimer mibifnim, the clay was in the inside, bezeves mibachutz, and the tar was smeared on the outside. And that explanation is kadesh lo yirich oisit tzadik reichra, so that that righteous person, in reference to our son Moshe Rabbeinu, should not have that bad smell of tar inside the basket. Now the pasuk says, "V'tasim ba'as yelad," she put the child in that basket, "V'tasim ba'suf," she put him in the suf. So what does that mean? Rabbi Lazar says yam suf. That's a reference to the well known yam suf. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar, he says, as we continue on Tamid Beis, it's actually a reference to an agam, to a marsh, meaning where there's wicker trees, and where there's willow trees, and where there's thin reeds. Like it says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, kana, which are reference to reeds, besuf, which are thin willows, kamelu, they wither, so we see that the term suf is a reference to a marsh, where these reeds and where these willows grow, and that's what type of body of water she had put him in, not necessarily what's known as the yamsuf. And the later pasuk says, "Vatered bas paray lirchatz al yar," that the daughter of Paray went to bathe herself by the river. So Amar B'yechin and Mishum B'shim Ben Yoichi says, "Malam this comes to teach she yarda lirchatz megiluli avir basya," went to bathe herself and to cleanse herself from the filth of the idols of her father's household. In other words, she went to immerse for the purposes of conversion to the to monotheism, to the life of like a Jew. Chenoim Asotu says a pasuk in Yeshaya that someone that repents and cleanses themselves from the sins is called a bathed person. Like it says, "Imrachas Hashem es soyas b'nei tzion," regarding that if Hashem will bathe the filth of the daughters of Tzion, meaning it's a way of saying that they will have been cleansed from their sins. Now the pasuk says over there, "V'narisel holches b'gerim," that her maidens were going with her, with the king's daughter. So Amar B'yechanan says, "Ein halichazu elo lashamisa." This term of that they were going, it means idea of that they were going towards their death, as the Gemara will shortly explain, because they protested regarding Basya saving this tzaddik Moshe Rabbeinu, and because of that they ended up getting killed. Chenoim Mesotu says a pasuk in Bereishis where Esav says, "Hine anoichi hailech lomos," here, behold, I'm going to my death. So we see that the term of halicha means towards one's death, and therefore that's what it means regarding the maidens of Paray's daughter, that they were going towards their death. Now that's because, as it says in the pasuk over there, but tere es ha-teva b'teich ha-suf, that the basi saw the box amongst this suf, whether it's the yam suf or the swamp. Now, so on that, the Gemara says, "Kiven de chazu de ka," and the Gemara says, "Ba'as latzul le Moshe." Once these maidens saw that Basu was trying to go ahead and save Moshe, so Amalo, they said to our givirtenu, our mistress, our master, "Minhage shaloylam," the custom of the world is, "Melech basav adam gaiz egzer." You have a regular king, a flesh and blood king, makes a decree. Now, im kala oylam kula im akaymanoy, so even if all the world doesn't keep his decrees, but banava b'nei beisim akaymanoy, at least his household and his family members, they keep his decrees. "V'atei veres al gezer savich," and you're defying your father's decree, which was to kill all the Jewish boys. So that the Gemara says, "Bo Gavriel v'chavta mekarka." And again, that's why we said there were holchas lamos. Said the Malach Gavriel came and buried them in the ground. He killed them on the spot. Now the pasuk says over there, "Batishlach es amasa v'tikachecha," that she stretched out amasa, and she got this little baby boy, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya, two different interpretations on what was Amas. Chad Amar Yadu, one says it's her hand. But Chad Amar Shavchasa, one says it was a maidservant. Which actually, both these words have roots with the word either Amma, which is a reference to the hand, or Amasa, as we find that's a maidservant. Now, as the Gemara explains, Mandam Yad, the one that says that it was her hand, she stretched out her hand and got Moshe Rabbeinu, Tachsev Amasa, because it says Amasa, and it doesn't say Narasa, it doesn't say that she sent her maidservants. Mandam Shavchasa, but the one that says that it was a maidservant and not the hand, was Medilek Sevyada, from the fact that it doesn't say she stretched out her hand. It says this term, Amasa. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ulaman Dama Shavchasa, according to the one that says that she had sent her maidservant to go get that baby, but Ha'amr, but you just said before, Bo Gavriel Vachavta Makaka, that Gavriel came and slapped them and killed all these maidservants who were trying to stop her. So if they're already dead, how could she have sent a maidservant if she's by herself? So the Gemara answers, the Shai Lochad, no, the Malch Gavriel left over one to love Orcha de Bas Malka Lamekin Luchud. It's not normative for the daughter of the king to be by herself, so he left over one of them, and that's the one that she sent. Now, that the Gemara asks, Lamanda Yadu, and the one that says that she stretched out her hand, Lichtav Yadu, it should say her hand. And actually, as Rashi says, Al HaTayra, that according to the Diktuk of Loshna Kaidish, a Masa should have had the Mem with a Dogish. So why doesn't it say Yadda? Instead, it says Amasa. So in that HaKamash Mon, actually, what it's teaching with and exactly how the diktuk is of Amasa, is to tell you the ishtarvav ishtarvuve, that her ama, meaning her hand, actually stretched out many amois, it got longer than how it normally is to be able to reach over to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Amamaz, the master says, and this is in the context of Masechtas Megillah, when it talks about when Ahasuerus was stretching out his scepter to Esther, that it actually stretched out way further than usually would reach, and this was all in the sake of getting and saving Esther and the salvation of the Jewish people. So on there the Gemara says, V'chinat ha-maitzi ba'amasa shabas par. So too you find regarding the arm of the daughter of Par, that although normally it would not have reached Tal Moshe Rabbeinu, but a miracle happened that it stretched out many amos, cubic feet to reach him. And v'chinat ha-maitzi b'shinei rishon, the same thing you find in another context in Masechtas Brachas and Perek Haraya, regarding the teeth of the wicked, which was regarding to Oig Melech HaBoshen, the giant, t'chsev, like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, says Shini Rishum Shabartu, which literally is translated as the teeth of the wicked you break. But for Amr Shlaka, she expounds, Atiku Shibarta Elisha Rivavta. Don't read it that you break, but rather that it's a term of extending, which was that the miracle, as the Gemara Brachas explains over there, that his teeth extended into that big mountain that he had and he couldn't get it out, and then that's how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to kill him. So therefore, again, that's the context of why, according to the one that says it means her hand, why is it used Amasa to say that it stretched out many amas? Now the next pasuk says, "Vatiftach," she opened up the basket, "Vatirehu," and she saw them, "Esayelad," the child. So the Gemara asks, "Vatirem boyle," should have said, "And that she saw Esayelad." What's "Vatirehu," as if it says, "And she saw them"? So Amr B'Yisi B'Chanina, it means Shirasa Shchinema. She saw the divine presence with this baby, and that's what it means when it says, Vatirehu, she saw them. Esayelad means to say the es can mean with the child. She saw the divine presence, the shechina, with the child. Now the pasuk there says, Vihine nar baichem, behold that the child was crying. Now that the Gemara asks, Karla yelad, first you call him, she opened up and she saw the yelad, which is a term of like a baby, Vakarla nar, and then you call him a nar, which sounds like that he was an older child. So Tanu learned the Braisa, who yelled, yes, he was still a baby, he was only 3 months old, but V'koyle Kenar, his voice was like already a young boy. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. On that, Amalei Rabbi Nechemya asked Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Im Kain, if that's the case, Asisoy L'Moshe Rabbeinu Baal Mum, you have just made Moshe Rabbeinu into a blemished person, because that's not normal type of voice. It's a blemish for a baby to have a voice of a young boy. And the problem is, he's a Levi. And a Levi becomes invalidated if his voice is not appropriate to have the service of singing in the Beis HaMikdash. So Ella, rather, he says, Malamed, what this teaches is when it says that, V'hini nar baicha, Malamed sha'asasa lo imay chupas ne'ur b'teva. It means to say that his mother, Yecheved, made for him a chupa, a wedding canopy, of the youth, that's when ne'urim comes in, b'teva, in the box. What does that mean? Amr, she said, Shemelo eskel chupas, the mother's always thinking about her child's chuppah. And she's like, here, he's 3 months old. He's probably going to get killed. Maybe I'm not going to merit to see his chuppah, his wedding. So she made like a chuppas ni'urim, a canopy of the youth in the teva to make it almost like as if she was by his chuppah. And that's why it says that v'hini nar boicha, the nar who had this chuppah snurim, was crying. Now the pasuk says over there, v'tachma l'lav, that she had mercy on him. This is Basia, the daughter of Paroi, on Moshe Rabbeinu. V'tayim, and she said, miyaldohi ivrim zeh, behold, that this is one of the Jewish children. So that the Gemara asked, how did she know that he was a Jewish child? So Amar Yisrael Shirah Asai Maho, because she saw that he was circumcised. Now, the next word in that pasuk is that she said, miyaldohi ivrim zeh, that this one is from the Jewish children. Why is she signifying by saying this? So Amar Yechon says, Malam, this comes to teach, without her knowing she was prophesizing, saying because she saw it thrown into the water, which was happening to the Jewish children, she said, this Jewish child was thrown into the river, but no other Jewish child now is going to be thrown into the river, because actually, as the Gemara will explain, that day they nullified the decree of throwing the Jewish boys into the river. Behind Amar Belaza, that's what Belaza said. What does it mean, the pasuk in Yeshaya? Meaning this idea that you can have prophecy, you can have knowledge of the future from the non-Jews, but they don't really know what they're saying or seeing. It says in the pasuk, and moreover, this is related to why the decree had been stopped that day, which is what she was prophesizing. It says in the pasuk, "Chiyoyim ra'aleichem," that is, if they, the idol worshippers, will tell you, "Dirshu, you should seek out like we do." Elo Avos Vel Yadoinim, to the, these are the necromancers and these are the stargazers. Hametzafzafim Vamahagim, which literally means to say that those that chirp and those that speak, but as Rashi says, that the prophet Shaya uses a derogatory way of describing, like Metzafzafim is that they just chatter like cranes, and Mahagim is that they just vocalize things like doves, which is Tsaifim Ve'inim Yedim Atsaifim. They see, I mean, they could see the future, but they don't know what they're seeing. Mahagim, ben yod mahagim, they say things, but they don't really know what they're saying. In other words, the words come out of their throat, but they don't really know what they're saying. And that's the same meaning, like these birds. And the same thing applies to the astrologers, to the stargazers, that they just see signs, but they don't know how to fully interpret what they're really seeing. As the Gemara explains, and this is what's related to this idea, that she was able to say that the Jewish children are not going to be thrown in anymore that day. Why? Because the astrologers of Paroi saw, Shemeshian shall Yisrael b'mayim hulaika, that the savior of the Jewish people was going to be punished by water. Now, Rashi just points out that this idea that the Gemara is saying now is not Rebbe Lazar that's saying it, because the pasuk that we have over here in Yeshaya is not going on Mitzrayim. Rather, the Gemara is explaining and saying that this idea that we said, that Basi was saying that no other Jewish child is going to be thrown into the water anymore, that's because, like Rebbe Lazar said, that they don't really know what they're saying, and therefore the Egyptians, that they didn't really know what they're seeing, they therefore thought that now, oh, it's already over, and they don't have to kill the Jewish children anymore, because they said that he's going to be harmed by water. Now, so Amdavugazra, that's why they got up and they told Paroi, they made this decree of Kol HaBen HaYila Deyer Teshlechu, any child that's going to be born will be thrown into the river. Now, Kivin Deshad Yuhul HaMoshe, but once Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the water, meaning by his mother, Amru su lechazinaki ha'samana. So now they told Paroi, said, oh, we'll look into the stars. We don't see any more of that sign. And the reason being is because as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was in the river, so there's no greater being harmed of being in a state of peril than a little baby in the river. And therefore, there was no more sign anymore of being harmed by the water because he was in a state of harm by the water. So but legizurasai, so they nullified their decree of having to throw all the Jewish boys into the river. But they didn't know, and actually the decree was even on the Egyptian children, they didn't know that actually, what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be punished by the water? It's actually referenced later on in his life, what's called the waters of strife, which was because that he hit the rock and didn't speak to the rock. This is what Reb Chama Bar Chanina says, what does it mean the pasuk in Bamidbar? They are the waters of strife which they had strife regarding, which caused the downfall of Moshe. What it means to say is, Hema, those are the waters, Sharo, it's Tagnini Pari, but tell you that the astrologers of Pari saw, and they made a mistake. They thought, oh, he's going to be harmed by water, let's throw him into the water. And when he was in the basket in the water, so they didn't see that sign anymore and thought that was his downfall. That really wasn't what it was. And therefore, they stopped it because they see, but they don't really see. And more behind the Kamamaisha, and this, regarding this whole episode, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said in Bamidbar, that he said, Sheish Meis Elof Ragli Begoyma, that 600,000 which usually translate as feet, but as Rashi points out, as a pasuk in Bereish Lam, it says that ragli can mean because of me. Like it says, Vayarach Hashem oischa laragli, Hashem blessed you because of me. So what Amalei Moshe Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, Bishvili nitzaltim kulchem, because of me, you were all saved. In other words, because when I was thrown into the water, then they nullified the decree of having to throw all the Jewish boys into the water, and that's how all of you were saved and able to be survived, because they didn't throw anyone in. But again, that was because of they didn't really know what was really happening. And again, that's what the pasuk says. Zesh, he said, this one is in the water, but no other one's going to be in the water. Again, because the astrologers, who don't really know what they're seeing, saw that, oh, the Savior's already in harm in the water. You don't have to save. You don't have to throw anymore in the water. But they didn't really know what they're seeing. And that wasn't an exact and a precise interpretation of what was ultimately going to be the punishment of Moshe Rabbeinu. Or the Gemara gives a different interpretation for this term of Zeh that Basi was saying. Reb Chanina bar Papa Amar, he says, Eisa Hayyim, that day that Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the river, Esrim ve'echad b'nisan haya. It was the 21st of Nisan. So Amar Malachi Ashrasav ne'akadosh Baruch Hu, the ministering angel said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, the master of the world, Misha asad loy meshira al hayam b'yom zeh, this person, Moshe Rabbeinu, who ultimately will be saying the Shira in the sea, in the Yam Suf, on this day, so Yilka b'yom zeh, he should get harmed on this day, meaning that he should drown over here in this river as a baby. Now, the Shira was said on the Yam Suf on the 21st of Nisan, as Rashi brings from the Brisa of Seder Olam, which was because when the Jewish people left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan, they went from Ramses to Sukkot, from Sukkot to Esim, from Esim to Piachiris. That's 3 days. On the fourth day, it was told to Paro Melech Mitzrayim that the Jewish people had fled. On the fifth and the sixth was that the Egyptians chased them. And then the evening of the seventh was when they went into the Yam Suf, and like it says, Vayaras HaLaila, lit up the whole night. They had the clouds blocking the Egyptians on the, behind them. And in the morning, when the Egyptians drowned, was when they said Shira, and that was the seventh day of, which is what's known as the last day of Pesach, at least in Eretz Yisrael, in the main idea of, so that's the 21st of Nisan. So they said that on this day, which is when he was poured into the river, that he should die, but he's the one that the future beholds should be saying Shira on this day. Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, he says, that actually, it actually was the sixth of Sivan. And this is what the ministering angel sent in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbeinu Shel, the master of the world. Again, they're expounding the term of Zeh, that it was referenced to this day. He's going to accept the Torah from Har Sinai on this day, on the sixth of Sivan. He should get harmed on this day, and therefore he should be saved. Now, that the Gemara asks, Bishlam el Mandam b'shish b'sivan, this is very good according to the one that says that it was the sixth of Sivan. So, Mishkachas lo gimel yarchi. So, you can have the 3 months, which we explained that, as the Pasuk says, that because she was already conceived 3 months before, so she was able to hide him for 3 months, and then she had to put him into the water. So, therefore, works out. Why? Because the Amar Maaz, the Master says, B'shiva ba'adr meis, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on the seventh of Adar, and u'b'shiva ba'adr noilid Moshe. And it's also on the seventh of Adar that he was born. As the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Masechet Kedushin, which learns that from Psukim, because it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, it says that the Jewish people cried over him in the Arvas Moyah for 30 days. And then it says that Hashem said that my servant Moshe passed away, but now you have to get up and go to Eretz Yisrael. And it says within 3 days, then they crossed over the Yarden. So it says that that was on the 10th of the first month, meaning the 10th of Nisan. So if you deduct 33 days going backwards, because the 30 days that they mourned over him and the 3 days they waited till they crossed over, so from the 10th of Nisan, you go back to the 7th of Adar, that's obviously the day that he passed away. Now, how do you know that that's the day that he was born? That's because, as the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, I am 120 years old today. What does it mean today? And that the Gemara expounds elsewhere that today is when my years and my days have been completed, meaning that he passed away the day that he was born. So therefore, if he was born on the 7th of Adar, so umishiva ba'adar v'atshish b'sivan t'lasa yarchi. So you have from the 7th of Adar until the 6th of Sivan, 3 months, and those are the 3 months that his mother concealed him, and then he was put out into the water. But el manda amma be'esem be'echad b'nisim, according to the one that's saying that this day that they were saying, how could he be killed if this is the day that he should be doing this, that it was on the 21st of Nisan, in regards to saying the Shira, how do you have 3 months from the 7th of Adar to the 21st of Nisan? So the Gemara explains, Isis Shanamu Beres Isa. Actually, that was a leap year. So you have Rubei Shel Rishon, you have the majority of the first month, because all you're missing is 7 days of Adar. You have Rubei Shel Achin, you have the majority of the last month, meaning of Nisan, because it's the 21st of Nisan. And then Tzai Shalom, and the whole middle month, which was Adar Sheni. So that's how you have 3 months, even according to that Mandama. Now the next pasuk says, "Vatoymer Achayis El Bas Parai." So his sister Miriam said to the daughter of Parai, who had saved this Jewish child, and she said, "Ha'elich v'karasi loch isha menekes menabri. Should I go and call for you a wet nurse from the Jewish women?" So that the Gemara asked, "Umayshna me'ivrius? Why was it that Miriam, who is this just girl that was hanging around over there, proposing to get a Jewish wet nurse?" Where it sounds like as if that Moshe Rabbeinu, as a baby, didn't want an Egyptian wet nurse. So that the Gemara explains, yes, Malamed, this comes to teach, that Basi went and took to all the wet nurses that she knew of, that to bring Moshe Rabbeinu to them, and he didn't want a nurse from any of those women. Because Amran, the Girsa has HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Pesha Osa L'dabe Mashchina, the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, that will ultimately speak with the Divine Presence, Yinek Davar Tame, should nurse something that's impure, meaning from this Egyptian woman who she eats impure things, and the child that nurses the milk he tastes is whatever the mother eats, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma. This is what it says in Pasuk in Yeshaya, that Hashem says, Esmi Yeredei Begomer, who is it that will learn the knowledge? Where, and the Pasuk says, Vesmi Yavin Shmu, and who will understand the hearings? As the Gemara explains, Lemi Yeredeya, to whom does Hashem teach the knowledge, that of Torah? Ulemi Yavin Shmu, and who will understand what is being heard? It's like the Pasuk says, it's Ligmulei Mechalav, it's to that who is weaned from milk, Ulatike Meshadoim, and that's removed from the breast. In other words, a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu that was weaned and separated himself from the non-kosher milk, and he removed himself from these impure breasts of the Egyptian women. Now the next pasuk says that Vatoymer lo bas Parai, so the door of Parai said to Miriam, yes, lechi go bugaymer, etc. Where the pasuk says v'teilcha alma, and the young girl went v'tikra es imayald, and she went to call the mother of the child, which was Yocheved, her mother. Now Amr Balazi expounds, what's the term ha'alma? Malamet shalcha bezrizus ka'alma. This comes to teach us she went so fast like a young little girl, I mean, that had all her strength. Actually, as the pasuk in Devarim, which says, Chazak v'amatz, the Targum translated, Takev v'alam. We see that's a term of strength, of vigor. She ran so fast. Shmuel ben Nachmeni, he says, no, the word ha'alma comes to reference, Shehalima estevra, that she concealed her words. She didn't say that she's the sister. She didn't say she'd bring the mother. That's where it says ha'alma, she concealed what was really going on. Now the next pasuk says, V'atomu labas pari, that the daughter of pari said to Yecheved, hey, lichi esayel dazeh, go ahead and take this child. I want you to nurse him for me. So Amr Reb Chama Bar Chanina, Reb Chama Bar Chanina said, "Misnaba ve'eni yedes ma misnaba." She was prophesizing Bas Parai, but she didn't really know what she's saying. When she said "Heilichi," that word could be read as "Hashelichi." Here, this is yours. She didn't know. She thought she was just getting a Jewish wet nurse, and really, this was actually the mother of the baby itself. And therefore, she was ultimately really saying, "This is really yours. You go ahead and nurse him, and then bring him back to me when he's older." Now, moreover, the pasuk says, "Vani etin escharech." So Basia, who is hiring this wet nurse, said, "And I will pay you for the work that you're doing." So Amr B'chama B'chanina says, "Loidain letzadikim." It's not just enough for the righteous. Shemachzirin l'avedasin, that what's lost from them, that they get returned. Meaning, this is her own child, which she had to get rid of. But now Basia, through executive order, says, "I want you to take him back." Elashanois lehen scharim, but actually they get paid and get rewarded for their nursing their own children.